Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're now a year into the presidency of Donald Trump, and this week we're looking back at the real effects on American institutions and American people. We've looked at the economy, we've looked at the courts, and today, the environment. Coming into office, the president vowed to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords. It's a promise he followed through on over the summer.
So we could conceivably go back in, but I say this, we are very strong on the environment. I feel very strongly about the environment. Our EPA and our EPA commissioners are very, very powerful in the sense that they want to have clean water, clean air, but we also want businesses that can compete. And the Paris Accord really would have taken away our competitive edge.
1 year into the Trump administration, Kendra Pierre-Lewis is here, reporter for the Climate Desk at the New York Times. Kendra, thanks for being here.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Kendra, the president says that he and his administration are strong on the environment. You heard it there. But after the first year of the Trump administration, what are the most important impacts the White House has had on environmental policy?
Yeah, I think the most important impacts that he's had is basically undermining sort of our place on the world stage in terms of climate leadership, not just with withdrawing with the Paris Climate Agreement, but also in terms of what we've done in terms of trying to roll back the Clean Power Plan. He's looking at rolling back emission standards for automobiles, and all of that sort of signals to the world that we are not taking climate change seriously.
So we need to talk about the EPA, and we will, but you reviewed 60 environmental rules government-wide that the Trump administration has promised to roll back through executive orders or rulemaking, other actions. What are some of the most notable?
So some of the most notable are the Clean Power Plan, reopening a review of fuel efficiency standards, delaying methane rules associated with like electric generation and with extraction of natural gas. There really isn't an area where they haven't touched. And just the other day, they issued a tariff on solar panels, which has tremendous effects on not just our ability to get off of carbon emissions, but on jobs. And sort of one of the things that I really want to bring up is like of the 60 rollbacks, it's mixed. Some of them would have happened regardless of the administration. It was time, like things getting delisted from the Endangered Species Act. But broadly speaking, the biggest rollbacks are the ones that are most under contention, that are the most risky, are the ones associated with climate change because we're running out of time.
Now, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, what does that agency look like now, about a year into the leadership of Administrator Scott Pruitt, a little bit less than a year after he was confirmed, compared to when President Trump took office?
So the EPA looks very different than it did under the Obama administration. There's a general sense that the EPA is using business interests first and interests of the American people sort of second in terms of water, in terms of air quality, and in terms of emission standards. They're anti-regulation. I think they're not completely trusting of science. And Pruitt is on the record as sort of being antagonistic to climate science in particular.
Climate and CO2. We played the president there withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accords, a major story. But on the domestic scene, you talked about the Clean Power Plan. You talked about methane, other rules that directly affect CO2 emissions or the government's ability to force companies to roll back on emissions.
I think it's really easy when you're talking about climate change to think of it as this very big and sort of nebulous issue. But if 2017 has made anything clear, it's sort of we're seeing the impacts of climate change already. It's not coming. It's here. All the experts say that we've already warmed 1 degree Celsius since pre-industrial levels. We need to be below 2 degrees Celsius in order to sort of stave off the worst effects of climate change, in order to really avoid disaster. In order to achieve that, we basically have to reduce emissions 40 to 70% by 2050, which is not that far away. And worldwide, emissions have to flatline by 2020. This last year in 2017, emissions actually went up by 2%, which suggests that we're not at peak emissions yet. The other issue is that the United States by far leads the way per capita in emissions. And a lot of countries are using us as sort of an excuse to not lower their emissions because they're like, if we're unwilling to lower emissions, why should anybody else? And if we're unwilling to lower emissions, it almost doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Kendra Pierre-Lewis, reporter with the New York Times. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.